Hello and welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert, and I have with me Joe Green, the pastor from Second Baptist Church this week. Last time we talked to you, actually, before I even get into it, some of you may or may not know, we've been going through a series on the Holy Spirit through the summer. So this is the first time you're listening to us. You can go back and start from the very first one. On the series on the Holy Spirit that we've been doing based on a sermon series Joe did at Second Baptist Church. And we're continuing on that today. And today, last time we were together, we talked about the Spirit gives power and He gives gifts to serve the body. And really, that every one of us, if we have the Holy Spirit, have the potential of any of the gifts being operational in us. And He wants to use us for the common good, the benefit of others in the community. It's not the gifts aren't given to us for our own sake and for our own gain, but for the purpose of the common good of the community, the benefit of what God is wanting to do in and through that community. So that's what we talked about last time. And this week we're gonna turn towards miracles, one of the gifts that the Spirit gives. So where do we want to go with that, Joe?
Well, I think let's start by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you just said, when I thought it was important to make sure we talked first about the Spirit giving all sorts of different gifts for to advance God's plan, to build up the body, and that miracles is one of those gifts. I think it's important to do that because often miracles kind of take our attention. And when you think of gifts of the Spirit, like we automatically focus on that and hyper focus on it when the Spirit does many things. But we also don't want to make the other mistake and think of, that the Spirit, empowers to teach and preach and to encourage. Well, no, He also empowers to do miracles.
Yes.
So that's why I think it's important to set this up as, this miracles is one gift among many to benefit the body and to advance God's plan.
Amen. Yeah. So we want to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, and then we'll read also 27 through 31. Let me find it here. It says, in verse 7, it says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." And in verse 27 through 31, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way."
Yeah. So a couple of things to notice in those scriptures, and we referred to them last time as well, is that how the Spirit gives to individually just as He wills.
Yes.
And that all the gifts are needed and they're empowered by the Spirit. It's He's the one who gives them. And not everyone has all the gifts.
Yes.
Right. So we need one another.
Yeah.
Which there's all sorts of things that go in that that would take us away from miracles. But miracles are an example of one of the gifts that He gives. Mm-hmm. It says in the beginning and towards the end. I just want to point out in verse 29 when it says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, do all work miracles?" In the Greek, the negative particle that's used assumes a negative answer. So some of your translations will say something like, "Well, not all are apostles, are they?" And I think that captures it.
Yeah.
It's assumed the answer is no. Because not everyone will have all the gifts, but everyone will have a gift and multiple. The Spirit who does that. And thank God that He does.
Yeah. So who works the miracles?
Not me. But that's the, yeah, and that's the important, one of the important things. It's the Spirit, right? The Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. He's the one who works the miracles. And that is also so important, because some of the times our motivation for seeking gifts, and especially seeking miracles, might be not so much to build the body up, but to build ourselves up.
Yes,
or even just to have a cool experience.
Yeah.
You know, and these things, I mean, they're understandable, but they're not why the Spirit works. It's the Spirit works for His purposes and to glorify God and build up the body, not so that we would be considered, you know, Mr. Healing Man who gets, you know, who gets lots of money and fame.
Yeah. Oh man, no, I'm only kidding. but even though, like I say, the Spirit's doing it, right? And we're emphasizing that. But who does He use? This is a part that it boggles my mind. Why would He decide to use us?
Yeah.
But He has, and it's really should keep us humble. This privilege of being a part of God's work. So it's the Spirit doing the work, but He uses us, humanity, to actually touch someone else that's human, just like us, who needs God's touch to advance God's kingdom. So He's using us in that process. So there's like this joint work. And we'll get into talking about how do we get involved in that later on. But that's something to remember as we continue to talk about it. So what is a miracle? When we say, like, let's define the word miracle. Let's say, like, you know, working of miracles. You know, what's a miracle?
Yeah. Well, Craig Keener wrote a book on miracles. He wrote a couple of books on miracles. He's a great scholar and writer. And I like his definition of a miracle. Mm. I'll read it to you. It's from page 3 of his book on miracles today. It says, a divine action that transcends the ordinary course of nature and so generates awe. I'm going to read that again. Yeah. A divine action that transcends the ordinary course of nature and so generates awe.
Mm.
And I like that definition because, yes, when we... In the Bible, there's lots of miracles, and we often do think first of healing miracles. And a healing is a type of miracle, but it's not the only kind. There's can be miraculous provision of food, miraculous escape, weather miracles. So yes, healings, but miracles are greater than that. It's a divine action, so God's at work, the Spirit's at work, that transcends the ordinary course of nature and so generates awe. And I like that part about it generates awe.
Yes.
Because that when we're in awe of God, something happens and we're in awe of God, and we then pay attention to Him, and that helps advance His purpose.
Yes. So I guess one of the questions we're looking at, you know, we can look at the scriptures, we can read all these different kinds of miracles that happen, and we see them. And I would, as you're saying that, I'll just step back a second. It's in time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going forward, but I'm going backwards here. But like, miracles may be something we don't ever see, not knowing that God spared our life.
Mm, yes.
And sometimes there's miracles we don't know happen, and they happen around us. And God has kept protected us in ways we don't even understand, and we won't know.
Yeah.
Do we get to heaven?
Yeah.
And so, but do they happen today? You know, is there evidence of those? And you mentioned Keener's book, and it has a great catalog, a variety of miracles that he's cataloged and recorded, and verifiable.
And I think that's important because there are, you know, a lot of different people will be listening to this broadcast, and there are some who are like, yeah, miracles all the time. I've experienced miracles. They'll tell you stories about them. But then there is a significant portion of Christendom that kind of says, well, yeah, miracles, they happened in the past, and they can happen because God can do whatever He wants, but really they don't really happen anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of thinking really just is not biblical,
right?
Because when Paul wrote the New Testament, when Paul wrote Corinthians and the New Testament was written, there's nothing in there that suggests that somehow that miracles would cease until Jesus comes back.
And
that itself is a miracle. That's the whole new kingdom and all that. But there's nothing to suggest that. So biblically, we should assume it. And then what I like about Keener's book is that then he catalogs them to say, and see, like, here's some examples. And they're not just, he's careful not to pick cheesy examples of when you're like, oh, that could be anything. He tries to find examples that are verifiable by doctors and had been verified so that, you know, if someone's listening, it's like, well, you know, I've never experienced a miracle. And some of the folks, and I think you're going to share some stories, Kenny, like, I don't know, Kenny, he could be just telling a tall tale, whatever. I would suggest get Keener's book called Miracles
yes.
Today.
Yes.
Read through it. But the thing is, it's that... That just confirms what the Bible already says. So it'd be one thing if the Bible's like, miracles are going to cease. But no, if you trust the Bible and believe it, then we expect miracles to continue. And that's confirmed through many people's experience. And so I just suggest that book to those who are a little bit skeptical.
Right. I mean, even the thought of like thinking like miracles don't happen. And then why do we pray?
Right.
Why would we ask God to do something that oftentimes is miraculous, whether it's healing somebody? And so what happens is if we don't believe they happen today, we're really kind of like dumbing down the expectation we may have to yes. God to move, even in our own life, in the simplest of things. And it's like, we need to stir up an expectation that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's
yes.
his desire to show up and move in people's lives. Like I just think of Sarah and Abraham. It's like he visited her.
Yes.
I mean, what's that mean? He didn't like, you know, hey, hi, Sarah, from afar. He showed up into her life in those moments and transcended the natural events. And actually, she became pregnant. Yes. And has this child that she shouldn't be having. So God intervenes and changes the course of history.
Yes.
And so we should expect him to do that. And we should actually stir each other up to actually create an expectation that we want to see God move in our midst, not just for us to have a good experience, but we want to be a part of what God's doing and advancing his kingdom in the earth.
Right.
So, I've seen a variety of things happen, and I just... When I think of them, they are the one of like, it's not just healing. Like you talked about multiplying food. Mm. We were a part of a church that did a ministry once a month. We opened the doors and we gave out food and clothes. And during the month, we'd always be bringing in stuff like to a food kit. It was a closet. We had a room in the cellar of the church. And we just, during the month, just filled it up with food. And then we'd give it out once a month and open it up for those that were in need. And we'd do something for Thanksgiving. And we would get turkeys. And give away turkeys and try to, you know, and we try to narrow it down to give it to families, not just individual people, because it was a big turkey. So we try to find as people coming through the door, it could be 50, 60, 70 people come through. And this one time we had like, I can't remember exact number, I'm just going to say it was like 15 turkeys. And so we can't give one to everybody. So we're, okay, how do we do this? We had someone at the door, you know, asking people and trying to figure out, okay, here's a family with kids and there's a bigger need. So he'd give that person a ticket. So when he came around to where the food was in the cellar, that person that was giving him the food would get the ticket and give that person a turkey. Well, this time, the person that was giving out the tickets didn't know we only had 15 turkeys. Mm. And so he's giving out tickets and he's giving them out. And the person downstairs, it's just a people coming in and coming. They're just taking the ticket and giving out the turkeys. And as it's happened, it's going along and the day is ended. And we're shutting down because we've given everything away. No one else is coming. The lady comes upstairs and she's got her chin on her chest. She's like, mm-hmm. like, whoa. And she's counting the tickets. And she knows she only had 15 turkeys to give away, but she had 30 tickets. And I can't remember exactly. I'm using 30 examples, but it was more than what she gave. We had. And she's, I don't know how this happened, but she goes, I gave away 30 turkeys, and we only had 15 to start with. I don't know how it happened. And we're all standing there, and it generated awe. We were all like, whoa, what happened? We couldn't explain it. We don't know how. We didn't ask God to intervene. Mm. We were just there. Just doing the part, and we it was called Isaiah 58 ministry of helping people in need, and based on fasting for the way God would want, and actually meeting people's needs, God would show up, and he did, and we weren't actually expecting, we were just doing the thing we always did, and all of a sudden we know that God provided food for people that we didn't have, and so that was a cool thing that happened. It was like, wow. And one of the parts of it too is we're sharing the gospel with people there.
Yeah,
you know, that are happening as they come through the church on that day. So that was one that was a cool one.
And what I find really interesting about that too, is that, as you said, you weren't praying for that miracle, but yeah. It happened anyways. And I really think that speaks to the power of, like, this is God we're talking about. Like, this God
yes.
works the miracles, and he often uses us, and often he includes us in a way that we're conscious of. So we do pray for a particular miracle, and oh, it yeah. happens, and we know it's God, and it generates awe. Yeah. But here's a good example of a miracle that happened that you didn't ask for, but you were still a part of it, and it generated awe. It was a divine action that transcended the ordinary course of nature, right? You had 15 yeah. and you ended up with 30, and it generated yeah. awe. But it wasn't like a name it and claim it. It wasn't like, you know, dear Lord, in your name, I demand that you, yeah. you know,
no.
whatever. It was God just showed up. And I think that also speaks to sort of the proper theology behind miracles. And that is it's God's intervention. He's the driver. He uses us as we step out, but he actually doesn't need us.
Yeah,
And that's a good example of two of, like, there's plenty of examples in scripture where, yeah, God will do a miracle and people didn't expect it or even ask for it, but he just said, this is my plan, this is what I'm about to do, so,
yeah,
and it generates
yeah.
awe.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll share another one. The one was, this another one that we didn't pray for. And this is, I shared it with Joe beforehand, but it was, we were church planting at the time, and we were using a coffee shop. And in between the songs, sometimes we would give room for people to share, like if they had a word of knowledge or a word of encouragement for the church. And someone said they felt like, they came up, spoke up and said they felt like someone God was going to heal them, their teeth, something wrong with their teeth. And there was a woman going to be going to the dentist the next day. So she, you know, we ended up praying for her. But nothing changed in that moment. So we went back to singing a song. Mm-hmm. And as we're singing the song, at the end of that song, another person wanted to speak up. I was all excited and to share. And she said during we were singing the song, after we had prayed for the other person, we didn't pray for her. Mm-hmm. And she starts to say that she felt there was movement in her mouth during the worship song that we were singing. And then she started feeling her teeth, and her teeth all had, she had a bunch of cracks in her teeth, but she all her cracks had disappeared. She could feel with her tongue that they were gone now. Huh. And so she was like, God's healed my teeth. And I'm like, and so she's never had to end up having the work done on her teeth that she was needing to get done. But no one prayed for her. No one laid hands on her. Mm. She didn't ask for any prayer.
Yeah.
And she didn't speak up when someone said, you know, God wants to heal someone's teeth.
Right.
And so here's this miracle happens again. And so we were kind of like, whoa, the next song we worship, guess what? It was a bit more excited.
Yeah.
Seeing what God was doing in our midst, even though we weren't asking for that person, God steps in. It was another unique one. Let's go to the next one. What's the purpose of miracles?
Yeah.
You know, what do they serve? What's the purpose that they serve anyways? You know?
Yeah. And I think it's similar. And this is why we kind of started with couching it in, well, it's a gift of the Spirit, like encouragement, all that, is that it's to glorify God and build up the body, just like the other gifts. And yes, it causes us, it often generates more awe and excitement, but really it's the same purpose, is that it glorifies God, builds up the body, and advances God's plan. So when I say glorifies God, it advances God's plan as well. So that often in the New Testament, when we read it, that miracles and spreading the gospel, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
There's something about the miracles kind of verify, no, this message has a divine power in it. And yeah, they go together. So those are the reasons why, you know, miracles happen. And as we said before, though, it's not miracles. And so when we're seeking a miracle, we do need to ask ourselves why.
Yes.
You know, why am I seeking the miracle? And as I mentioned earlier, because if it's so that we have a neat experience, well, I mean, God will do what he'll do, but, you know, that's not the purpose of a miracle, is to get us all hyped up.
Right.
I mean, it's to us to be in awe of God. That kind of hype is good.
Yes.
But not just to be like, wow, that was really cool, you know, like going to Six Flags or something.
Yeah.
And it's also...
I thought it was being in the front of the roller coaster. Yeah! No, they just had this visual.
But the thing is, because, you know, it is very exciting.
Like, yes, it is.
You know, when you see the ordinary course of nature kind of being trans, you know, not yes. kind of, but being, yes. it's exciting. And we can fall into the trap of then seeking that experience.
Yes.
But when we search our heart, it's not really about God. It's more about just, yeah, getting really excited. And because who doesn't want to experience that?
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. So I think our motivations are important. And yes, God uses people with messed up motivations to advance his kingdom, but we don't want that to be the default. You know, we want to be right with God so that, you know, whoever's faithful with a little will be faithful with much and expect that God will continue to do the miracles and we don't have to manufacture them.
Right. Yes.
Because that's what happens sometimes with, again, folks with sort of wrong motivations. It's either to get a crowd or to get popularity, or they perform a miracle. God performs a miracle through them, and it's amazing. It pops their ministry. Everything's going on. And then, well, what happens when that sort of stops? Then, and I really feel like some of the fraudulent faith healers, like that's what happens with them, is that God actually does something through them, but then they've got to keep the hype up.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, we don't need to go down that one, but it's just, it's something that Keener talks about too. And and it's just, I find it, you know, so our hearts are very important in this process.
Yeah. Let's read Romans 15, 18 through 19. You had in your sermon as part of the notes. And I just want to read it. It's what Paul writes here. He says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to..." I can't even say that word. I'll let you say it. That city.
I think it's Alicrium.
Okay. Sorry, I had that. I'm not even going to try to say some words because I'll just really mess them up. I have fulfilled my ministry, the ministry of the gospel of Christ, where Paul's talking about here. It's like I'm not. It's not just about. It's not about me. It's about what Christ has accomplished through me.
Yeah.
And it's about signs and wonders that God's using to confirm that He's the one that saves. He's the one that is advancing His plan.
Right.
And that's really the motivation that we're called to have too. Paul has that same one.
Yeah, and those miracles helped Paul win a hearing.
Yeah.
So that people who were skeptical or whatever, when Paul was doing miracles, they're like, "Wait, this guy just healed somebody?"
Yeah.
And again, we understand it's God through him, but they're like, "Well, okay, well, I think he deserves a listen."
Because
usually that's what happens.
Yes, usually. But that's at least the next question. Does a miracle always produce saving faith or an audience even?
Right.
You know, and I've had a personal experience of praying for somebody and them getting healed and then trying to talk to them about Christ and they don't want to hear it. Mm. And so that was when that first time that happened, I was like, whoa. I was not expecting that because I always understood it as like it's a miracle happens, people are going to respond. Yeah. So it doesn't always happen. And then there's a miracles of praying for somebody and a healing happening, and they're willing to hear about Christ, but they're not going to make a commitment. Mm-hmm. But then God uses that one to tell, this happened when I was working in the military, and that one experienced watching it happen as I prayed for somebody. And they tell the whole rest of the unit. So before I knew it, everybody in the unit knew the miracle that had happened. And from that, it opened the door. That person wasn't responsive, but I had so many opportunities to share the gospel and to give away Bibles. And especially it was a time when people were going out to Afghanistan and Iraq and deploying. Mm-hmm. They'd invite me over into the van where they're leaving to go to the airport. "Can you come pray for us, Kenny?" You know, and so sometimes we think, well, you know, why didn't that person respond? Well, there's bigger plans that God's working. God's advancing His plan. So we're just called to be obedient in those moments, faithful to what we feel He's calling us to do in those moments, and then let Him do the rest of it. He's the one that creates the awe, not us.
Right, right, right. And we also talked about in previous weeks too that coming to faith in Christ, like that's dead. You're spiritually dead, and you come to life. So that's a miracle in itself. Yeah. And so the physical miracle is meant to produce a eternal miracle in the life of that person and bringing them to eternal life. But I think you're right too to focus a little bit on that, well, miracles by themselves often are insufficient to produce a saving faith.
Yes, right.
Which is so important because we often gravitate towards the miracles thinking, well, that's, you know, like that's the pinnacle. But so many times in scripture, in that story you just shared, where people experience miracles, but they don't come to the saving faith in God. And biblical belief is trust in God, right? Not
right.
trust in a supernatural event.
Right.
It is trusting that, not just believing that God exists. Okay, a miracle happened. It's no, God produced that miracle, and that, you know, Jesus Christ is His Son. All that stuff that goes along with saving faith. But plenty of the people in both the Old Testament and New Testament saw God do amazing things, awe-inspiring things, but did not trust in God.
Right.
And as you just mentioned, too, and that still happens today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's something to make us realize, like, in the moments, it's getting a bigger picture that God's at work, even when we don't fully see it, or this happened, so this is going to happen. We create expectations based on our own desire, and that, wait, is what's God doing, and being kind of trying to be sensitive with the Holy Spirit is doing in those moments, not just in us but in other people, and maybe not even the person that we're talking to or the miracle happens to.
Yeah.
And so a friend of ours used to call it third party witnessing. Like, I'm talking to you, Joe, about Christ, but there's somebody over here at the cash register.
Right.
Joe doesn't want to hear it, but the cash register person, we don't know it, comes to Christ, and when we end up in heaven someday, he's going to come up to us and say, hey, remember when you were talking to Joe? I heard you.
Yes.
And so it's like our part is to be faithful in the moment with what God places before us, and the other stuff that God creates and does in people's lives and hearts, that's His work, and it's not something we can control or manipulate. And so it's just something for us to be faithful to those moments.
Yes.
And God's always at work, even in the ways sometimes we don't even fully see it happening in front of us.
And I think that's where, again, that perspective is so important, because if we can feel let down or disappointed if a miracle doesn't happen the way we think it should, just as you're saying. But our faith is not that God will do a miracle. Our faith is in God. And God, and God, we trust Him to do whatever He's going to do. And sometimes He works a miracle. Sometimes, just as you said, some other things that we can't see. And that's where, biblical faith is more than just faith that God exists. It's that I trust in God. That's why you can have miracles and people are like, oh yeah, well, I guess that miracle shows that God exists, but that doesn't mean they trust them.
Right.
It doesn't mean they trust them as doesn't mean they trust God as their God. God exists, but that doesn't mean He's your God.
Right.
You trusted Him.
Yeah. I like how you put it. It's like we as believers, we don't trust in the miracle.
Yeah.
We trust in the God of the miracles.
Right.
And then even as we see miracles, it stirs our faith, and it should stir expectation. But we don't have a relationship with our miracles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They come and go.
Yes.
God stays the same. And really, like how you're saying, is we need to stay focused on the relationship with God and help others build on that relationship they have with God. And as we talk about taking a step closer to Christ, it's a continual process of growing closer, whether we see the miracle or we don't see the miracle. It's not trusting in those, but trusting in Him.
Right. And I know we're running out of time, but that goes back to, I want to connect it back to some of our previous conversations of, we trust in a person, not a power.
Yes.
And we did this a couple of weeks ago, and the listeners can go listen to those on your website. But when talk about the person of the Holy Spirit is, yes, we're in a relationship with a person.
Yes.
It's not the power. And again, that just sort of, what we're doing kind of connects with previous things, and I wanted to point that
out. Well, we come to a close today, and thank you for joining us in our conversation, and pray you were blessed with that. And if you want to listen to it again, you can find these on letyourkingdomcome.com or sbcsouthhadley.com. You can find me either place. And if you want, you can leave a comment too and give us some feedback. Well, until next week, God bless.